The world looks a little bleaker without implants? Fine, learn to live with it. And if you don't like that, there's always the hermetic approach. Zebra shook her head. Without implants, we start dying of old age. Most of us, anyway. With them, we've got to live half a life cowering inside machines. Sorry, but that's not what I call much of a choice. Not when there's a third way. Then you have precisely no moral grounds for objecting to the existence of dream fuel. I'm not objecting, you tedious little man. I just want to know why the stuff isn't easier to get hold of when we need it so badly. Every month it gets harder to find. Every month I end up paying Gideon, whoever he might be, a little more for his precious elixir. Such is the nature of supply and demand. Shall I hit him for you? Chantrell said brightly. It'd be no trouble at all. That's very generous of you, Zebra said, evidently pleased that she and Chantrell had found some common ground. But I think we want him conscious for the time being. I nodded, at least until he gets us to the manufacturing center. Chantrell, are you still sure you want to come with us? I'd have stayed at the station if I wasn't, Tanner. I know, but it'll be dangerous. We might not all walk out of this. He's right, Quirrenbach said, who must still have hoped that I could be talked out of this. I'd give the matter some serious thought if I were you. Wouldn't it make more sense to come back later, with a properly prepared squad, even something vaguely resembling a plan? What, and miss having your undivided attention? I said. It's a big city, Quirrenbach, and an even bigger rust belt. Who's to say I'd ever see you again if we agreed to postpone this little trip? He snuffled. Well, you still can't force me to take you there. I smiled. You'd be surprised. I could force you to do just about anything I wanted to. It's really just a matter of nerves and pressure points. You'd torture me, is that it? Let's just say I'd apply some very convincing arguments. You bastard, Mirabel. Just drive, will you? And watch where you're driving, Zebra said. You're taking us way too low, Quirrenbach. She was right. We were skirting the mulch now, skimming only 100 or so meters above the tops of the highest slums, and the ride consisted of sickening undulations due to the lack of threads at this altitude. I know what I'm doing, Quirrenbach said, so just shut up and enjoy the ride. Suddenly we were skimming down a slum canyon, descending a single long thread that vanished into murky caramel-brown water at the canyon's end. Fires burned in the ramshackle structures either side of us, and steam-powered boats huffed and puffed out of our way as the cable car approached the waterline. I was right, wasn't I? I said to Quirrenbach. You and Vadim were a team, weren't you?
I think the relationship might be better characterized as one of master and slave, Tanner.
He worked the controls with quite some skill, retarding our descent the instant before we hit the muddy water. That act of Vadim's, the big stupid thug? It wasn't an act. Did I kill him? He rubbed at one of his own bruises. Nothing dream fuel couldn't fix in the end? I nodded. That's more or less what I thought. So what is it, Quirrenbach? You must know. Is it something they synthesize?
That depends on what you mean by synthesize, he said.
So he went mad, Sky said. He got stuck here and knew there was no way he could get back home safely. There isn't any mystery to that. Do you think Largo was real? Asked Gomez. Maybe. It doesn't really matter. We still have to go in, don't we? If we find the man, we'll know that much is true. Look, Sky did his best to sound reasonable. What if he killed Largo? They might have had some argument after all. Maybe it was killing his friend that drove him insane.